person that you're working with. You may not be, but if you're like me and you're the computer nerd and family, you're the one so far. The only time I want to tell the grown up is if your computer on vacation. So the first thing I'm going to do is adjust the information. So any of you have got some address information in CMG. No, I can't help you much with that. So the first thing we might do is generate a list of people who work at credit. No, we want to generate a list of events report for addresses. And address is a kind of event. A list of people would generate the name of the person, the birth date, death date, whatever. That's not going to help us in this case. What we want to generate is a list of addresses, which are events. Try to generate all events if I wanted to, or first off, I want all events that we can add in filter. Actually, let me back up and start with a couple of basic things, and then I'll pick up from there. One of the things that I regret not seeing people using very much is the concept of report definitions. An awful lot of people that I consult with, that I work with, that are having trouble trying to a list of people reporting, besides designing all of the filtering and the columns and the rows and everything else, and they generate the report, then they go do another list of reports, and they do it all over again. And then they need the first one again, they go back and redesign it again. So we put a lot of effort into report data, into supporting report definitions, so we can talk a little bit about what that is. When you look at the report menu, and I can't see back there, so if there's anything that doesn't show on the screen, one of the colors of the words, we're just going to have to let you know. On the report menu is a list of every report type. And some of them, like a list of, there's a series of other report types here. But for each report type that you might want to generate, there is or could be a list of report configurations, and that is just a set of options configured the way you like and given a name. They have, by their nature, the type that you were specifying when you were creating it. So this is a list of events report. But I can create a new configuration, and I'm just going to call it list of addresses. Now, you don't have to do this, and there are some contexts in which you might think it's not worth the trouble. It's fine.
Are you working in options?
No, I'm in the report definition screen. I went to the report menu, and I chose the list of events. So I'm on the report definition screen for list of events, and I click on add at the top. And I type in list of addresses. So now I have a report configuration called list of addresses. It is a list of events report. It just happens to have a name, list of addresses.
Sweet.
Well, that's the name for it.
So, list of addresses is just a set of options with a name. There is, for every report type, there is a report configuration by default with the same name. So there is a report configuration called list of events. But I just created one called list of addresses, and I'm going to go on and define what that is. I'm going to filter it for addresses, I'm going to set up columns and rows and whatever. But I just wanted to demonstrate that it's that easy to create a configuration. You can have any number of report configurations here. You're going to go out of trouble to define things like filters and output options. It's really, if you have any possibility of using it again, you should create a configuration name for it. You don't have to do that first, by the way. You can create all the options and then give it a name by creating a new configuration. I'm just going to save these settings. I'm not actually going to run the report yet because it doesn't do what I want until I finish all the details. But I'm going to go back to the report menu and show you that now under list of, there are all these things, citations, names, people, and so on, but under events, there's now a list of events and list of addresses. These are report configurations. So within the report menu is a list of report types, and within that list of report types is a list of report configurations. That's new and neat. It's one of the options, the new things that need that shows the report configuration right on the menu. Now I can choose any one of these, it doesn't matter which one I choose. I can, if I want to, then change changes here at the top of the report configuration. But the state is done to pick it directly from the menu. Okay, so what is the list of addresses? It's a list of events report, but it's not every event in my project, right? It has to be a specific kind of event. So I'm going to filter it and create a subset of all the events, and I'm going to specify what kind of event type I want. So you've got all the fields specific to events, dates, places, and so on. And then I've got a tag type. I also have a tag type group I can choose from. Tag type group, there is an address tag type group, and so maybe I'll choose that. I don't know if that's on this project. But the difference between per and stillborn and all the other kinds of perks are death and die of cancer and die of disease, and all those are all types of death. They're in the death tag type group. But only death, the specific tag type called death, is the ETA. So here, again, there's a tag type group called address, and I'm going to just choose that. So any event in here that is of this group, regardless of what the label is, could be work address or home address or anything else, it will come up if I choose a tag type group of address. And now I'm done. Now, just by report configuration, filters can be given names. You don't have to give a name, defaults to user filter number, whatever. But I'm just for the sake of demonstration, I'm going to say this is address group tags. And we'll see later where that comes into play. You probably don't have 800 by 600 at home. This is pretty difficult to use that resolution.
Because I'm going to
first principle or the second principle of the address to tag debts. Okay, so again, this is a list of address and debts. Picture that in your head. An address tag has principles at the top, like any other kind of event. It could be one principle or it could be two principles. So what I'm saying here is, if the first principle is living or the second principle is living, am I done? These boxes show up here to give parentheses, so that's what I need to do. Everybody did that, right? So now I'm saying the second item is address and either of the principal. The principal of that event is living. So I'm going to save that filter. I'm going to override it. Still I have a text set for living people, but I'm now going to go to spreadsheet. Yeah, just pause this so everybody can see. First of all, I have 120 addresses and tags. I've got 560 tags where the principal one is living, not address tags, all kinds of tags. I've got 153 tags where principal two is living. And down here is where it combines them. So of 120 address group tags, 56 of them have at least one person still living. Does anybody understand that? Okay. This screen disappears after a few seconds unless you tell it to stop. That's right. You often won't have a chance to look at this, but it's, especially if you're not getting the results you expect, it's a good thing to follow the screen. There's a little checkbox over here that says something to follow the screen. And if, again, if you don't get the results you expect, this will tell you why. Often you get a report that's blank, and you wonder what happened, which one of my filters is not producing the results I expect. And if you go here, you've got 120, 153, this one's zero. Well, if there are a bunch of and conditions, then that zero will fall through the combination, you get zero results. So then you look at that second condition and say, what's wrong with it? Okay, so I have 56 events. I filtered the output to spreadsheets, so I'm going to say yes, go ahead and open up the spreadsheet. Actually, does this one still for Mac, if I'll let that throw you. And here are my results. I didn't give you comma headings, so that's what those are. This is the false. Okay, so I have a date, an address. Here's the residence tag. Other residence tags, remember, those are in the address group. That's why they show up here. The name of the person, the name of the other person. I guess that's the address E. Level 2 is the street address, so I missed a comma. I have to go back and generate that again. Now, from here, how do you generate labels? I'm not going to do this now, but you go to the you do this in combination with Word, you create a Word document that uses labels, and when Word tells you where's the data, you point to this file and stuff. So maybe this is a little bit intensive because you have to choose which label you want based on which ones you bought from the store, what the size of them are, what data you want on which label. It's a little bit of work, but that's the same reason, by the way, that we didn't redo all that at PMG, because it's a complicated process. There are a lot of variables involved, and Word and Excel do it really well, so they do walk you through it. But we interact with Excel and it's how you get the data across. So you generate these address labels, you send off letters. Again, you can do a form letter from here too. Probably want to generate a given name column and have your form letters up there. Hi, Susan. We're having this wonderful event. I hope you're here next time. Just leave that and go back to TNG so it's still open in the background. I need to get back to it. Next thing you might do for a family reunion is, of course, there's a lot of preparation stuff, but when people show up, you may want a checkoff list, some kind of attendance list, verification of who arrived, who didn't. And there might be a stage in between where you have an RSVP saying that who's coming and something. Anyway, that's a similar sort of thing. You generate a list of they could do the same way, but just be a little different. Choose lists of people report, generate lists of all living people. Of course, people might show up, but you never send anything else, right? Because they might have out some cousins, Susan. So they can choose to generate lists of all living people. All people, if you're feeling lucky, probably all living people. And set up a column for you if they're here. So, so that's in the checkoff list. There's a we save the filter for address tags, and we could use the same thing to generate another list of events. Just go to that. Now I can't generate a list of people with this filter, so the point I want to make is that these filters, although they're saved, they are relative to the report type. So if I generate a list of events, I've got that address group tag filtered. If I generate a list of report, I've got a list of people. I'm going to get a different set of report configuration, then I'm going to get a different set of filter configuration. Okay, so I can generate a report, but I'm going to have a filter here for living people and generate that. So, what else might you want? Name tags. I do this a lot for family reunions. I always end up being the one doing it. So, in this case, most of the that list of people report. By the way, you see this list of address at the bottom of the list here. I'm going to go turn on something, it'll make it easier. But the last report you generate, you know, are on top of report menu. I hope you use custom toolbar, because I use it all the time to create one of the apps. Customize custom toolbar. So under. Sorry?
Repeat last report.
Yes, you do. Here. I know I've done talks about this stuff here before, so just holler out if I'm going to pass a city or something else and understand. Did I pass it? On the back of
the last report.
On the last report. Move that over there. I don't want that at all. So my new. Tomorrow, when we have one last report on it, I can use that. I might not have the button or whatever, but it helps me just see it there. So, list of events is the last one. I don't want it right now, but I'll want that button here in a few minutes. So, I'm going to generate a list of people report for living people. I'm going to help with this Excel. Actually, sorry, let's back up and talk about the problem. I'm just going to lay a foundation here. The way I do lay name tags for family reunions is I always put the first name first. If you see somebody you don't know, you want to immediately be able to find out the first name, hi, George, or whatever. There's a surname underneath that, of course. And then I put a line underneath that that tells people who you are, where you came from, descendant of John Smith, or spouse, or descendant of John Smith, whatever. That a lot of that has to do with what kind of family reunion you're going to. I know there's, you know, there's a few savvy actions to pick up a picnic with all of your cousins. Or it could be a once every 4 year deal like my wife does, where she's got people from several different lines, anybody connected to a particular ancestor or person. So in that case, it's a several day event. That makes sense to do name tags, and it makes sense to have other kinds of reports prepared. So I'm just going to assume that for the moment. There's going to be people from different family lines you don't necessarily know. And in preparation for doing the name tags, I'm going to, or I have already set up a couple of flags here. You all know what flags are, I'm just going to use the flags that we put here. What I want to put on the name tag is what family the person is from. Family just being defined as what person they're create a custom flag, you can tell them what value you're leaving. So on the flag, any flag, I set up these values. So these are Birmingham, and this is and so on. These are all family names, families that are divided to my family union. So I set up specific values here, and they can be anything, only one letter, but. And then, of course, I go to all 800 people and set their flag, right? Of course, I can use the report writer to set it for me. So I can generate a list of people report that looks for, let's create a different, just add a new filter here. I could do it on by surname. If their surname is Manning, then they're probably Manning family. But probably a better way to do it is, again, this depends on your family, but I'm going to say use the descendant of, and then you specify the person here. So if this person is a descendant of some person up there on my family tree, then I'm going to generate them in the list report, and then I'm going to do something else called secondary output, and that is on the report options. This output column looked at before, but secondary output, one of the things I can do, well, I can send these people to a new project or to a new data set and use the timeline. This is the one I want to do, this is change flag option. And I'm going to change the flag, the family flag, to, what did I say? That was a fault. And so, we say for all the people who showed up on that list, I want to change their family flag to be fault. Don't be thrown by the family number two, just means it's family flag and data set number two. Many of you may not have data sets, multiple data sets, so you won't see that number two there, but something to worry about. Anyway, so this is going to change the flag, or whoever shows up in my reports can change their family flag to be. And I'll need to run this multiple times, I'm going to populate this family flag properly. I've also, go back and look at this filter again. You notice I didn't use any of the checkboxes down here, but probably for policy's sake, I would say yes, spouses are also in that family. So although they're not a descendant, I'm going to set their family flag to be in this case because I chose to call one as the starting point. When I go back and run it again, I'll choose a different person and change the flag to a different value. But I'm just going to set the living flag to meaning family flag to be for this people. So that's really all there is to it. Doing a filter on including spouses, and once I see the screen, it's going to have to double change the flag automatically. So this is the screen for now. Now 312 people with descended of that person number 29. And by the way, I have to remember the 29, but if you didn't, you can click on that doctor's to get the out of that list. So here's this list. It has surname and given name, plant, family, and spouse columns, which I didn't show you, but I did that. Same thing in the output columns, I define those as the data is included. So here's what family are there in. You see there's some W's in here, a few other isolated values, but most of these are, well, they are by definition, they're all of us. So many of them already have them, and like I said, to me. When I close it to the app, I'm sure you want to change the flags. Well, I'm going to say no because the populated way I want them now anyway. But the point is, showing you the list gives you an opportunity to verify it before you go right into the data. If you answer yes to that question about flags, it's going to change this flag value for everybody who showed up on that list. And so it is massively changing your project and so gives you an opportunity to back out of it, as I just said. So populating the family flag can be kind of time-consuming because when you do it, you want to run that report once for each family that you want to include in the family flag. And then there is also the spouse flag, which is a little tricky, so I just want to show you how I did that. yes, changing other people, yes, too, but I change those other people back again. Everybody understand? So that's how I find it. It's about what I do. So now that I have this flag populated, I don't want to spend too much time on this report, so I'm just going to use generate now a list of people. And so the flag business is all done. It takes a little bit of time, but that's all done. I'm going to create another filter here. I'm looking just for living people who are impacted. I click on this little sucker now on the filter option for living people. So I'm done with the filter. I can go in and look at it and you can see living flag equals yes. Generating a list of people report, I can look at output columns to make sure it has what I want, and that is the name of certainly given it. There are options here for last comma given, for instance, and also given last. If you can output in a single column, but remember the way I want the name tag is on different lines, their first and last names. So that's why I've outputted it to different columns to the spreadsheet, and then Excel will let me do different things with them instead of having to pull down the same deal. So that's what I want to do. I'm now going to click Excel and click on OK. And let's just click on prompting to the NC button. Create a report, overwrite that report, yes. Okay, so I'm 222 people that are living, plus their spouses. That's okay. So do I want to open that list? Yes, I do. And there they are. My surnames, my given names, family, and spouse. Now, if you've done this right, you would have spent more time on it than I did. You'd have values for all of you. Or maybe not. Maybe there's people that are... But again, I generated all living people in my project, and so... Of course, all of them are going to show up, but it might be one or two that's going to show up. And so you want to populate as much as you can. But I'm going to now, told you I'm going to teach Excel, but I'm going to just do this real quickly so you can see how it works. I'm going to create a third, I guess, a fifth column. And don't worry about the syntax here. But what I'm saying is if the spouse column is yes, then I'm going to output yes. And I'm going to output spouse of space. And living flag is no, I'm going to not output anything. And then I'm going to add that to the value of the second column. These are just B's and W's and stuff. I don't want that one to be in there. So I'm going to have to find for Excel what these things mean. So I'm going to create a little lookup table. And I will add a few lines here to create a lookup table.
Now you can drag down the left. You can drag down the left five or six columns and then say insert.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, they're better ways to do it. Okay, so there are values here that I know. D is descendant of Stephen Street TV Baldwin. That's a text value. W is descendant of Joseph Waterman, and whatever. You get the idea. For each value, I put a value there. And then I have a question mark value too, because a lot of them are that. So I'm going to go down to this one that happens to have value in both columns. I'm going to define my formula here. Concatenate two values. Concatenate add two character values one to the other. The first one is if this value equals the ounces, then ounce of it. If it's not, you just don't want anything at all. And then the second value is a lookup of that value in this table. And based on the results, I'm going to pull out this value. Like I said, don't worry about that. I'm going to put it in. It's in parentheses. But you have that raised house of descendant of or even lower, or you can force it differently, of course. Now I've got a formula in here. The value isn't there, the formula is here. And so I'm going to copy this formula. You know, maybe better ways to do that. But I'm going to paste it in. So all the values in my table. And I'm not going to select the column, by the way. Because although I may have 266 people in here, if I define it with a column, it's going to calculate that formula for the whole table, 65,000 rows of the table. So I'm going to do that. There it is.
I think C26 should be relevant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I did it in C21. Next
screen in instead of formula.
What's that? I did change the value instead of formula?
Yeah. Undo a few times to get back to your original.
No, I'm fine. No. Thank you. Only a couple steps if you want my first attempt. So here's what I'm going to put on the label. That's going to be involved in four spouses, and that's going to be involved in three months, as well as their first and last names. So then I go to order and I create a label, and I mail merge this in about this, the second or third copy. Third and fourth copy, I just mail merge it A, B, and E. And so I get the label. Okay, enough of that. I'm going to change this. Quiet. So the point is not to make labels and so on, but to show you prospects, show you the potential, to have a program generate this stuff for you. And then there is some work from formatting the way you want to. All right. Once the family gets there, there are... every family's got a few people that are intensely interested in this, but a lot of people who aren't at all. And so, don't make the mistake that I did one time producing a little pamphlet for everybody who came, because they most of them threw it away. Left it on a chair, couldn't care less, especially for kids, of course. So, there's something that you want to do to make adults interested, and other things you want to do to try to make kids interested. So, let's first talk about the adults. You could generate a list report that has everybody's name and their birth and their death column, and ask them to fill in any data that you're missing. Not death column, but death of their parents or spouses, spouses, children, siblings, whatever. And ask people not only to check their own line, but to check their lines with the people they know. But that doesn't produce great results in my experience at a family reunion. What I find much better results for is to do an individual narrative report. Generate a narrative that people have to read and fill in the blanks. And I found that's sort of a challenge for people, and so I get better results. I'm generating an individual narrative report, and I went into options. And on the miscellaneous tab, there's an option for blanks for missing data, and this is the one I'm getting at here. This will output lines where your missing data is. It will say she was born on blank, at blank. And so people find it a challenge to go in there and fill it in. Jacob Keebler is my focus. I'm just going to the screen, and I'm only going to do this for one person right now. But that's what it looks like. He married somebody, daughter of somebody, to somebody on that date, in that place. He was born before 1721, and so on. Now,
that's great. Would you show how you got there?
Okay. I chose an individual narrative report. And I used default settings, except the only one I changed was under report options, under miscellaneous, I checked blanks from the data. The miscellaneous tab. That's the only thing I changed. So I would do this for everybody who is descendant of whoever the progenitors of the family reunion are, whoever the family reunion is focused on. You know, you've got your family goes one thing for you, and your spouse's family goes another one probably. So you choose the progenitor you want, and don't just output it for living people, output it for everybody that follows. And the other thing is, when you generate it, I didn't do it, but generating it is deep prompts, which not only makes it easy to read, but gives them lots of room to write. Because you don't want to try to squeeze in little things here. First of all, they don't want to. Secondly, you can't read what they wrote. So do, let me go back and show you this part. What I do is I generate a list. I mean, an individual narrative for all people in the project that are living. Or in this case, is descendant of, when I started this, I don't know, she's 29 or 29. something. So the person is actually going to be able to step in the game, which is great if you're expecting 40,000. But then you distribute it to people and have them at their desk, right, or at the table. They'll spend some time, spend a half hour filling this stuff out. Don't just have one and expect everybody to stand in line to fill out and buy something more that way. Just losing experience. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to generate one of those little individual error reports. There might be two lines. It might be a whole page. And I'm going to do it for everybody I expect to come. And some people that I don't expect to come that have passed away but are related to people that are coming and they'll fill out those. And then, by the way, I generate an index too, so people, once I have, a bad copy and then the sheets of these people and they can look at the index and find out where somebody else is and what I have to say about that. I'm not going to generate this because it's 2 minutes, but that's the idea. You get an individual narrative report with blanks from the same data for each person and each related, each one related to them. Each person coming to the product activity. I now put probably word, maybe change the font there, and then do the report definition, create an index, and probably have two copies, one for the master and one for the distributed copies. Sometimes if you're not, you know, if there's four or five siblings, I'll also do the parents form of all of the siblings. This one's going to know one thing, one's going to know something else, and then when I get them back. Schedule some time to get reviewing for this too, if you want to call me, I don't want to run it off and try to get it off the test or whatever. Okay, any questions about that? Sure.
I just ran the one for Frank Alexander. And the blanks, which I think is a great idea, are there asking for the actual day of the month of the year. That's what you have. And I just wonder if in some cases you might not really want people to focus on that so much.
Well, they can go in as much as they know.
Right.
But if you have some questions, what is that for about the date? If all you know is the year, that will say he was born, as in the first example, he was born before blank blank 1721 or whatever.
Right.
Wasn't that a previous example? But you just encourage people, ignore the people you don't know, if they don't have anything again, don't just guess unless you tell them you're guessing. It was about such and such a time.
I was just wondering if you could not have them worry about dates in a couple centuries back.
I wouldn't give them a couple centuries back. I'd give them their own and their parents and maybe their siblings. So if they know dates, I want to know. Even if they're dead and they know within a few years. If you don't want to do that, fine. You can't, the blank in this data is all or nothing kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's just blank.
Okay.
Just,
I think it's a great idea.
Different advice when you give it to them. Just say, don't focus on years or whatever it is. You tell them. And also, by the way, if the living flag is a yes, it doesn't have blank for die and bury.
Right.
It generates a lot of stuff.
To try to generate a source later on, thinking back to some of my life, okay, you look up another one coming up, you'll have maybe 500 people. When you hand siblings a report like this, I want to know when I get that, which one said that he was born in May, and which one said he was born in October.
Right. This form isn't going to put a blank there, but I'll put a blank where I'll tell them, sign the bottom. You can do that.
You can add a footer
line.
Right.
You can add a footer line.
Because you get siblings, they can't agree on their own parents.
Yeah, right. Sandy, you are more diligent than I am as far as when I do that, I typically don't ask for the source because it doesn't matter to me personally whether Susan or her brother John fed it under her lock on the way.
Place on there, but
state path. I'm going to offer this to the UCF digital chart form.
Can you do it with blind
sorry? Can you do it with blind you can force it to output those data types even if the data doesn't exist, yes. So this is so sad. That gets old. I just finished the second tour because we're in Iran. He's in college. She's just married. This is from family reunion when I took these pictures. And this is the space that I need for this time. Of course, it's showing the grid here, so I can turn that off. And it's showing the charts as if I were going to be connected by 11, but of course I'm not. I would save this chart. And now here, if you were going to print black and white, which is what I would do for that draft column, you can go to FedEx, Kinko's, or whatever, and they can do it for you in an hour, and it's pretty cheap. We do have a chart printing service on the report menu. Chart printing service is here. For black and white, it's about the same as FedEx, Kinko's. And ours take longer. So if you're in a hurry, run it out there, and they can also get a white or a printer. If you do it in color, we're like a quarter of the price of FedEx. So really it's your advantage to do this. But if you choose chart print service here, you just point to the chart that you want to print and it sends it to us. And then there is chart work and you've done it, right?
I did 37 charts in one day. I went up there 40. But we hung from the ceiling at the Cape Lookout Lighthouse, and some of them were 20 feet long. We were doing it, you know, and we got every single person that was there, 83 men and all their descendants, and we hung those things. The museum would not let me post anything on the wall, so we ended up hanging cords around the post, and then using clothespins to hang the charts down. And of course, they all came in lovely tubes that you have. And after the event, the museum curator carefully wrapped every single one back up, and they're now in their archives. So,
it was worth it. Now, you weren't asking for submissions, you weren't asking people to fill in the blank.
No, I have done all the research.
Yeah. So that's a little different than what they might be. Mm-hmm.
But I gave individual attendees, but I made those by hand. I gave them their own personal line back to the keeper. And I just did a person and their ancestor back to their family and colored the different boxes and then said, this is your person. That was their greeting card when they came to the door. But that was a little bit of a
No, that was a hit.
I love it. I still get requests though.
Okay. We have a break somewhere along here. So bottom temperature changes, space food shot, you know about it, and then a couple more children maybe didn't know about, so you can fill that ticket. And if I take the pictures the day before and I plug them in overnight to produce the chart, those pictures of course are going to show the temperatures too, so that's really good. It's not either for buying or sporting people who can take an hour to plug all the photographs in
how do you remember who all people are?
Exactly. How do you remember who's in that?
Yeah.
The name tag is on the front. Okay.
Yeah.
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 I've never done that. That's a good idea. I don't usually sort all those pictures. I usually do head and shoulders. So when that's going to get the tag, I do this. I don't know. I always pull off, you know, or number 5.
Oh,
okay. Good.
If I don't know which is off the game, you don't like to with Urban Days, by the way, you have a lot more formatting options for borders and lines and shaded areas. Color effects, I'm not sure how much you're always going to be able to get it. We just don't spend a lot of time on it. It's a nice question. But again, like with everything else, I like my family routines in a certain way. Other people like them different ways, but I create a family routine for work definition configuration or family routines the way I like them for family routines. And I save that, and on my computer, I use this. It's got to be defined for every year. I just go back and choose that one again. And it has margins, again, big fonts and lots of space for people to write it. Blanks for missing people and unknown children. And when I use family routine for any other context, I use completely different options, of course. If I save it under an A, then it stays there. Individual detail reports, I can sometimes do it, I get better results with family routine. Shall we do one of
one of your family group sheets.
You mean with the options that I have on it?
Yes.
That will take a few minutes to define, but I'll do that for you if you want. Let me first just see the default, and I can tell you what I don't want. Okay, so this is a person, their spouse, two known children, and we've got space for some other known children. So now run the last report, back into options, and see if I'm wrong. And then the surnames I'm going to do is old. Settings for the children and the children's choose that option, in fact, it does all of the first person's events, and then the events they share, and then all of the second person's events. The line. this is similar to, I don't know, Sandy or somebody saying, a relationship chart doesn't have to be between husbands. It can just be showing your direct mentality, you versus the progenitor, versus the head of the household, head of the family, and the family union. So this shows me how I'm connected to her through my mother, and again, information, links from missing data. I can practice putting information for living people if I want to. Pictures if I have them going in here. I have pictures turned on. If I don't have pictures, I can just turn off and don't waste the space. And by the way, this is the way Virginia does it. And these docs for some people, because they don't want that to print out. I'm not going to print. We're now in what's called draft view. If you look up the top, it's like Word does, which is print preview and draft view. You click on print view. This is what it's actually going to look like, and it doesn't have all those lines. But I'm surprised to know that this is actually a table. These are cells and rows of columns. And you can also output it to Word, and it uses Word tables just the same way the colors are used. So, yes.
You mentioned the relationship chart between cousins. Does it do a drop down for each line, or does it just do a?
It's just going to generate another one. So it's something to just do one between some pretty simple numbers. Relationship chart. Click on my last report. Between my nephews, John Fourth, who's just back from Iraq. My father, second, my brother, third, and so on and so forth. I met the other day, Reese Lowe, the 8th. This is called after the U.S. Conference. Reese Lowe is my ancestors, the original Reese Lowe. Reese Lowe, the 8th, lives in his house. And after the marriage. Anyway, so this can generate the relationship between those women. Yes, John the 4th and me.
I guess I use
a lot of words in that. I think that what you were saying is that you're going to be about to be a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, well, 2 nights ago for a grand niece in California, she emailed me, didn't you tell me we were related to Clara Barton? Well, I'm really, you know, kin to everybody. So I looked this out of Clara Barton's house, as a matter of fact, and I didn't have the data in my project. So I was able to kick her out 6 cousins 5 times removed, you know, Clara Barton. But she loved it, but then I put it in the PDF, and the next morning, she's turning it in for homework assignment.
I bet her teacher was impressed. Here, if it were to go on more, you would see this, but between these first generation people, it says their siblings down here, it was my child compared to John IV, it would say here, first cousins, and down the level, it's a second cousin, and so on. You're having to point with people like remove these, but cousins will be shown there. Okay. Any other questions about these? Yes.
Quick question on the drop-down list of outputs. I noticed that on the... the save to report destination.
Yeah.
Okay. The list does not include...
lots of things.
Yeah. Particularly WordPerfect.
Correct.
Because Nancy in faraway Georgia wants to know why.
Right. And we said in each of our updates, this is one of the known limitations.
Right.
At the bottom of the list of changes. We did have it, I thought, ready for 804. The day before we were released, 804, when the data tester said, not the top of pictures. And I really didn't want to go up 804 anymore, so I released it.
You are going to bring it down.
Okay, all right.
That is worth referencing. When you're out there to distribute to people, especially if you're mailing them to people, the safest way to do it is Adobe.
Yes.
PDF file, because then they don't want it. And if you, the risk you run on the iBooks, and we're perfect for the Word, it's not so much a limitation on PNG, but if you don't know what kind of, what version of the program they have, what fonts they have available on their machine, what their screen resolution is going to do to it and everything else, the output is a PDF, and they're going to see exactly what you see. The output is a Word versus Word Perfect or something else. You can't completely be confident.
You can't examine it.
Do you have a vision on 805 with the woman that might have a picture in my head?
It's a vision. Number on them and to change either the file because they all prefer the file.